We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Dan Connick. Joining me today is my partner that's with me pretty much every other Tuesday here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's the one and only Janelle Mackey. Janelle, how are you doing? Did you enjoy a super blowout weekend over the past couple of days?
I was going to say super doesn't exactly describe this weekend unless it has a negative connotation following it. Sleeper. Yeah, this was just kind of, there was so many good matchups and it ended up just being a snooze fest of a weekend of football. Like I really had a lot of hopes for a lot of these games and a few of them were really close and exciting. Like Bengals Raiders, but also like the officiating kind of ruined the excitement for me in that one. So it's just kind of been a, you know, putting football on in the background while I get things done because everything is just not entertaining to me.
Yeah, I've been like, it was such a letdown this weekend, you know?
Yeah, like, I think Bills Pats is the one I watched the most.
That was Schadenfreude more than anything for me. Yeah. I would never have turned that off, even if it was 50 to nothing.
Yeah, that one was more just like wanting to watch the Patriots get pummeled. Like, that's a blowout that I was okay watching.
Yeah, very much, very much. There's, and hopefully there'll be a couple more matchups that I'm hope like teams losing that I'll be rooting for. Like, it really would have been nice to kind of see the Cowboys get blown out. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that one was you know, although a lot of people were kind of. I'm like struggling to figure out my words here because it's like
I would love to watch the Cowboys get blown out because of the Cowboys, but also like it was pretty fitting to watch the Cowboys lose the way that they did because it's like I love Mike McCarthy to be forever, man, but like that's classic. That's a classic Mike McCarthy playoff loss right there.
I think that this was like a good equally matched game. And just for it to blunder the way that it did, it's just kind of like, you know, maybe if it was not the Cowboys, I would have felt a little bit more bad about it. But it is also an unfortunate thing to see because, you know, these things shouldn't be happening in playoff football. So it's kind of frustrating. You hope that we don't see refs interfering next week and anything like that, but also just like time management from the Cowboys. And it's kind of like Packers fans snickering a little bit to themselves, knowing kind of how that goes. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people were indifferent about this game based on who they maybe wanted to see either this weekend or down the stretch if that were to happen. I mean, I don't mind not seeing Dallas. I think the Cowboys, they were who I'd rather not see. Yeah. Like I was okay with San Francisco. So it would have been fun to see Cowboys get blown out. But I also didn't want San Francisco to have that big head coming in and like have all that momentum.
That's fair. Yeah.
So I do think that game worked out the way I wanted it to. And it's always fun watching Skip just, you know, go into a blunder over it, and that's always just an extra bonus. But no, that game, you know, it's a Nickelodeon game. Things were already weird. Which, it was the only way that it could have ended.
Bless up Nickelodeon for that, because if this is a I hope this is a thing every year, because I love the Nickelodeon.
Oh, absolutely.
Game. It's one of the best. It was the saving grace of this whole weekend.
Yeah, it was really the only game that kept my full attention, even when things weren't really all that exciting, just because, you know, there's nostalgia to it. And it is also really interesting just to see how different it's broadcasted. And I have a little niece who maybe in like a few years will benefit from something like that. And I do also love listening and seeing who's going to drop a swear on the mic on a kid's show. it was George Kittle this year.
Yeah, Kittle this year got his claim to fame this year. But today there's not much Packers stuff to talk about. I mean, really the Packers news today, Lucas Patrick activated off the COVID reserve list. So we expect him for this divisional matchup against the 49ers. Other than that, there's really not much Packers news. And we're going to have several days more coming up here of breaking down that Packers 49ers game on Saturday night. We wanted to focus on kind of resetting after the wild card weekend now. What does the picture look like NFC, AFC wise? How did the 49ers look coming into this game? How does it set up for the rest of the table here for what the Packers might have to go through to get to the Super Bowl? And I think kind of touching a lot on that 49ers Cowboys game, Jen, like we have been, is the perfect place to start. Obviously, since that's who's going to be coming up to to Lambeau this weekend, the 6-seed 49ers, the 23-17 win over the Cowboys. Like you said, it was a hard game to kind of figure out, because like for part of it, especially in the first half, the 49ers kind of seemed to have like a control over the game. And I was like, oh boy, I started to kind of get worried. Kind of what you were saying was, does this 49ers team have momentum? Are they getting really hot right now? Like, you know, things are kind of starting to happen here. But the Cowboys, I mean, really, if you look back on the game, it was a game almost that, like, if you were the Packers and this game happened, would be exactly your worst case scenario. The Cowboys beat themselves against the 49ers. And that's what kind of gives me a lot of, I don't want to say hope, but it really doesn't.
It doesn't do justice as to what San Francisco brings to the table, kind of thing.
Perfect. Perfect. Exactly. Yes, because I didn't see anything out of San Francisco that really blows me away. They're a good team, but there's nothing, anything that blows me away. If the Cowboys play their game, the Cowboys win. So law of transition or whatever, transitional property, if the Packers play their game, they're better than the Cowboys. They can beat the 49ers at home, you know?
Yeah. And I think especially you got a warm weather team coming into Lambeau. I think this game would make me a little bit more nervous had it been the other way around, where Packers are traveling to San Francisco, but that's not the case. They get the bye, and San Francisco, being that they played the Sunday game and they have a Saturday game against the Packers, they're kind of on a little bit of a short week that way. So that's kind of beneficial, you know, with the travel to the Packers and everything like that. So I think that there's a lot of positives for the Packers based on what we saw in this game, and also just the setup for the divisional round. I do think that, you know, can't take everything, like can't underestimate them. I know that's one of the biggest things they've done in the past, I feel like, or we always kind of think, you know, oh, this team, like, it should be a cakewalk. And I know there's some people who aren't afraid and some people who didn't want to see San Francisco at all. I'm kind of in the middle, where it's like, I'm not necessarily afraid of this team because the Packers have faced so much adversity this year where nobody really scares me. It's just a matter of, we've also seen the Packers not play great football, and you can't have that. And where they struggle the most is kind of San Francisco's best assets, like in the run game and in the tight end with George Kittle. So I think realistically, those are going to be the biggest focuses. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he's been on injury report as of today. He, I don't know if it was elbow, shoulder, thumb, maybe all of them, just kind of struggling a little bit, but there's dealing
with the shoulder.
Yeah. I think I read shoulder and I thought I saw something about a finger. Who knows? But I mean, it wasn't going to be a Jimmy Garoppolo game anyways, I don't think. Especially with it being cold. I do think the 49ers have really good weapons with Debo and Kittle and guys like that and Ayuk, and they can utilize that, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of how you play Kirk Cousins, where as long as you can get that pressure on Garoppolo, the defense can thrive from that. So I just think that this was kind of the ideal matchup for me, honestly. I think, you know, we saw LA and we saw Arizona, and obviously Arizona not looking hot tonight as we record this, but we've seen almost all these teams all year, and the 49ers, out of the three possibilities, they're the ones that I thought, you know, they could be our best bet going into this round. And I don't know what it is about them. I should maybe not be so optimistic, maybe based on what people are saying, but you know, the Packers haven't given me a reason to doubt them, and I'm not going to start now.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Let's talk about that for a second, because I think, but I want to touch on what you said there about the 49ers being the matchup with the Packers. It feels like the Vikings again, doesn't it? Like a quarterback that, if pressured, will throw the ball up. He'll put the ball into bad situations. We saw it in week three. Garoppolo threw some really questionable, like not even just like bad passes, but just like questionable decisions of why are you putting the ball here kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And they run the ball fairly well. The Packers have a little bit of trouble, or have had trouble stopping the run. And they've got a couple of really dynamic speed guys out on the edge. And on the defensive side, an elite pass rusher in Nick Bosa. They're not sure if he's going to play just yet still, but everyone sounds optimistic that that he will play. But like cornerbacks, secondary, it's not a good defense. Like like you said, if the Packers can just play what they do, play their offense, get out ahead a little bit, and just make this a runaway early, they should have no trouble. But I wanted to touch on what you brought up there, the sentiment from Packers fans and Packer media and everyone talking, you know, the past day, now that we know who we're going to actually be playing here. I was in the camp the last 2 years of, I would say, afraid. I would call myself afraid and like scared, because like we saw those games from the season, you know, where we would have to go. We got blown out in San Francisco 2 years ago and have to go there for an NFC championship game. Last year, get blown out in Tampa Bay, meet them in the NFC championship game again this year. The Packers, outside of that week one game, haven't had that experience yet, you know?
Right.
And nothing in this whole season has shown me that this is a team really with a glaring weakness, you know, like the past 2 years, there's been like, the defense has been suspect the last 2 years. This year, that's not the case. Like, this is a completely different year now. And I think just overall, like, I got to a point where I'm done being worried. I'm done being worried about, is this going to be it? Will we lose in the divisional round and just completely crap out of the seat, out of the playoffs again, and miss out another chance for a ring? And at this point, I ask myself, like, who cares? Who freaking cares? Look back on the 17 games that we just got to watch with Aaron Rodgers and this amazing defense and Davante Adams setting records. Like, we don't get to watch this kind of football every year, season in, season out. Like, go ask, if you're like me, go ask your dad. Go ask your dad what it was like watching the Randy Wright, Lyndon Key years. Like, this is really special, even if it doesn't end in a Super Bowl run. So for me, why worry about who's coming in? I feel like the Packers are good enough to beat anybody when they want to, when they're, you know, completely on. And so I'm going in with the mindset of, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of watching this team play, and I believe that we can win any game that comes across their schedule.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Absolutely. And they haven't played San Francisco since week 3. There has been a lot of improvements and a lot of additions to this team. You know, you added Douglas and you were able to get this far with a lot of guys missing games, being hurt.
Bakhtiari, Zadarius.
Yeah. Bakhtiari's back. Jair will come back, which Jair was, he was healthy in that game, but you were able to still get to where you are without him for most of the season. Myers, like, all these pieces are coming back, and you've also added guys. So they have improved so much since the last time that they saw San Francisco, and their momentum is just going. And, like you said, this season, no matter what happens this Saturday, it has been a hell of a ride. It has been so fun. And I'm not saying this like it's the end. I'm just saying because we won't talk again for 2 weeks. So who knows what will be going on there. But no, it's just been so fun. And this, there's just been so much personality and so much to talk about. And it was one of the most enjoyable regular seasons of football that I can remember. Everything just felt, you know, the way that the players were acting and interacting with one another. And it just, there's just so much that happened in this season where if you would have told me during the off season that this is what it'd be like, it'd be really hard to believe you. So now it's just a matter of, it was a fantastic regular season. Now finish it out and go all the way and make it the best gosh dang season that we have ever seen. Cause it's just been way too fun for it to not end in a happy ending. You know, like this is a fairy tale season and it's got to have the fairy tale ending. And it's just, it's kind of hard to put into words what this season has been, but because it's hard to think like, okay, it's only been like what, 18, 19 weeks of football.
Right.
And that's a really short amount of time when you think about it and you think of everything that's happened, but it's been so fun. And yeah, everything that's happened, it's like, bring on whoever. They have to come to us, and it doesn't scare me. So as long as the Packers can play the game that we've seen them play, then I don't see why they won't be hosting another NFC Championship game. There's really no excuse, honestly.
Yeah, and again, like, no excuse, you know, any of that. Like, it doesn't mean that it's a disappointment if it doesn't happen.
Right.
You know? You can expect it to happen. I mean, think about it. Think about it from it, that's exactly, if you go ask the coaches and the players, I almost can guarantee you they have the same exact feeling in their head. They expect to go out and win. They expect to go out and beat anybody. They know that they're better. They've practiced. They've trained. They know that they can go out and win. If they don't win, they'll be disappointed for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think any single one of them would ever call a season a waste because they didn't make the Super Bowl or they didn't win the Super Bowl. You know, it's a very hard opinion to come by.
And it's a hard thing to do. Like, it's hard to win Super Bowls. It's hard
Tom
to
Brady
make it
through the whole perception off.
Yeah, like, it's not as easy as Belichick and Brady made it look for all those years and how Brady made it look going to the Bucks. It's like, it is hard, and the Packers being able to get as far as they do every year, I mean, that's also, like, the fact that so many people make NFC Championship jokes, it's like, okay, but when, like, where are you, like, watching from home? Again, Vikings fans, so. It's, we're on the same page here where it's just, we have enjoyed the season and now ready to really kick into high gear.
Yeah, there is something to be said, though, about having this wait, because, like, I feel like everyone else, all the other fan bases have gotten into this rhythm now, this groove. And I took a whole weekend off, and now, and especially not just a weekend, but we had a full holiday weekend, some of us, Jen, you and I, holiday weekend.
Yeah,
and it's
almost
like,
forgot
now
to record today.
Right, and now I got it, like, in 4 days. You're telling me now in 4 days I have to go get ready for an actual football game that could be the last game of the season? Like, I'm enjoying this. Like, it really makes you wonder why I've tied all of my emotions as a grown human adult to a football team. Before we talk about the other NFC matchup here, because we're wrapping up the last Monday night game here as we're finishing up. Let's just briefly look at the AFC, how everything kind of fell out over there, mm-hmm. Janelle. The Bengals, I do have to give some props to the Bengals. I grew up in Cincinnati country. I know a lot of Bengals fans, went to school with a lot of them. I don't get to hold that little nugget over their head that, you know, none of them were born in the last time that any of them watched a Bengals playoff win. So there's that. But, you know, once that subsided, I saw a lot of, like, people I used to work with, people I went to school with, that kind of stuff, that, you know, just that emotion of them, like grown men crying and stuff like that, like holding their kids, celebrating just like a win, a playoff win.
Right.
That is so big for them. That's really cool. And so as much as I hate on the Bengals and give them a lot of crap, kudos to the Bengals and their whole fan base for breaking through and getting that win. Cause I mean, for us, it's not as big of a deal. You know, we get to see it pretty much every year.
I was going to say, we kind of take that feeling for granted almost.
Right.
Or like, you know, to a certain extent.
Right. So props to them, the Bengals, for their troubles. Now they get to, now they're going to play the Titans, right? Yeah. They'll play the Titans on Saturday before our game. And on the other side, the Chiefs and the Bills on equal sides of their own blowouts over each team, the Steelers and the Patriots. Feels like out of the AFC, is it the Bills and everybody else for me? Because I felt like the Chiefs blowout wasn't as impressive over the Steelers, just because the Steelers aren't as good. And it just feels like the Bills, like the way the Bills executed, they played the perfect game. What was it, like seven drives, seven touchdowns?
Yeah, like, I think, what was it? They made it like 58 minutes without having to like kick a field goal, punt or
turnover or anything. Yeah. Like everything,
so like
ended in a touchdown.
They were playing their game and no table stood a chance in Buffalo after it. Because, oh my gosh. And to do so against the Patriots, I'm sure that's like an extra special feeling for them. And I would love to see a Bills-Bengals AFC Championship game. Joe Burrow is so fun to watch, and just the way that Bills offense is rolling, I would love to just have a shootout for a championship game.
Yeah, I mean, it might be. That feels like it just could be Bills Bengals.
Like, I would absolutely love that. And I know I said this on Twitter, you know, the Bengals, I'm really happy for them. It's really cool that they got that win. I wish it would have felt more solidifying had the refs not had that fluke call or no call, whatever you want to call it. But it is still cool to get to witness, I mean, for the first time in my existence, them winning a playoff game. And yeah, I'm really rooting for a Bills-Bengals matchup. You know, I don't really have any issues with the Titans, but I really do love Burrow. So
yeah,
I want to see him in that championship game and just like drop five touchdowns in it. because I really wanted Burrows and Herbert, because that would have just been I would have had a blast watching them both duel it out in the playoffs, but you don't always get what you want. And yeah, so hopefully at least see one of those teams in it. But yeah, Buffalo over the Patriots. And I think that Kansas City hasn't been all that great this year, so I think that there's a lot of potential for Buffalo to make it a game with them. And I think that Kansas City might meet their maker in this matchup.
I agree. I think it's going to be Bills Bengals in AFC Championship game next week. Back to the NFC now. This game in LA practically wrapped up here now. So
it was done before the half.
It was. First quarter even. Jeez, it felt like it was first quarter. So it's Packers 49ers on one side. And then on the other side, it's gone. I mean, it's completely chalk except for San Francisco in here. That's been really the one upset. And it's been the one upset the whole entire weekend so far. Because then it's Bucks and now Rams as the 2-4 seed going to meet up on Sunday. This might be just really bad recency bias, but I don't know how the Bucks stopped the Rams. You know?
Yeah. I mean, the Rams, I know when we played them, they were kind of just getting some of those pieces like Von Miller and OBJ. So I think now they've finally started to click a little bit more. And obviously in this game against the Cardinals, who Cardinals aren't a bad team, they're just playing bad, if that makes any sense. So I think LA, for them to get a big win like this, is going to be huge going into playing Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, who, you know, they're a little bit depleted on their offense right now. So, and you know, coming off a win against the Eagles aren't anything crazy special. So we really didn't get to see how they match up maybe against a tougher team while missing some of their key players. But yeah, I mean, the Rams, they were who I thought that we'd be playing this week. I thought Dallas would beat San Francisco and LA would be coming back to Lambeau Field, and kind of thankful for that, I guess. Watching LA, they're a very complete team. And I know a lot of people maybe hate on Matthew Stafford a little bit, but I think with the right team around him, he can be successful, you know, as long as he can throw the ball semi-accurately. He's got really good targets, and
he's an above average quarterback.
Yeah.
That's playing in an offense that is designed to make it very, very easy for any quarterback, regardless of talent, to play in. Not to mention, like you said, just surrounded by weapons on both sides of the ball. So makes old Stat Padford look pretty damn good.
It's almost one of those things though, where it's like, I would love to beat San Francisco in the divisional round and then beat the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game and just like get revenge all the way through.
I agree.
So it's almost like, am I rooting for the Bucs against the Rams? I might be.
That's the thing. I am sort of almost rooting for the Bucs over the Rams.
Because I didn't really think I'd be saying that, but now that we're talking about it, I think that's where I'm going.
Because they don't scare me as much anymore.
Right.
They don't have the same offensive firepower anymore. And the big key for me, and this is why I don't even think we'll see the Bucks if we make the championship round. Their offensive line is decimated. Like, it's not especially with the Tristan Wirfs injury. He got hurt, and then they put him back in the game, and like almost immediately he was just bull rushed right back into Tom Brady's lap. And and then they had I forget, it was Josh Wells, I think. And then he got hurt, and like it's I don't know if they'll make it past, because putting up Aaron Donald and Von Miller against that kind of offense, because it's not, it's a typical kind of drop back offense, you know. So I don't see them really utilizing the same kind of stuff that Aaron Rodgers can use and this Packers offense can use. I'm just licking my chops at the idea of putting up Zadarius, Preston, Rashawn, Kenny against a Bucs offensive line like that and just watching them eat.
Just, you know, bury Tom Brady in the Lambeau Field grass.
Yeah. But like you said, I think it would be, it would have to just be like rooting for the Bucs to upset the Rams so that we can just beat the Rams or the Bucs at that
right.
point.
It's yeah. like, now that I'm looking at it, it's like, I just want that, you know, like Roger said, it's not revenge, it's a reckoning. Mm-hmm. And I want that so bad. Like, we could, it kind of reminds me of like that Grim Reaper meme where he's like going door to door. It's like, that's how I want this playoffs to feel. Where it's like, you know, got that number one seed. We're just kind of sitting back, maniacally watching everybody. And then we get to knock out the two teams that made our lives miserable for the last few years and then go play whoever. I think that would just be, that's the ideal scenario for me. Like, does playing Tom Brady make me nervous? Yes. Not in the sense of what Tom Brady necessarily does, but just in the way that Tom Brady games go. But that team is definitely less scary than the Rams that I've been seeing as of late, like you said.
Yeah. But again, it's not anything that scares me. Like, to take it back full circle, it's not like I'm trying to avoid playing the Rams because I'm worried that the, you know, like, you know, last year I was rooting outwardly against the Bucs because I didn't want to see the Bucs in the playoffs. I was rooting against the 49ers 2 years ago because I didn't want to see them in the playoffs. I feel confident, and I think Packer fans should feel confident in their team that no matter if it's the Bucs or the Rams next week that come out on top, if the Packers can make it through the 49ers, they should be able to hang and beat any team that comes in there. There really should be no worries about that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, they've already shown that they can do it, and that was missing a lot of their key players. So, yeah, Rams, they're a good team. We're better, and just got to show it to them, but got to get through San Francisco first.
Yeah, that's the big one. Get through San Francisco. We don't usually do this, Janelle, but since we're not doing our normal kind of usual show and everything else, like, do we want to do like a score prediction or a game prediction, or how about this? Let's pick a key, just one key out of the game. What's the biggest key for the Packers going into this week? We usually don't do a lot of game preview because the rest of the week crew kind of does a lot of that, but just one key to the game for us now that we know who we're playing.
One key to the game. I mean, I kind of touched a little bit on, you know, stopping the run and stopping Kittle. I really just think the key is going to be, I'll go with this one, which I kind of touched on. I'm going to go with pressure Garoppolo. Just all day in his face, and there's no excuse with the pass rush that the Packers have now, and I think that's going to lead to potential turnovers. So I think as long as, you know, if he's going to drop back and throw, make him pay for it, and make almost like make them run it, because you are just taking away that passing game. Because if you can take Garoppolo out of it, you take out Kittle and you take out Debo, and I think that they've got the pieces now for this run defense. So, yeah, I'm going to say key is just getting a lot of pressure on Garoppolo because he is not a quarterback that does well under pressure.
Yeah, turnovers. Like turnovers, that's that's got to be key because they will give them to you. So take, like, we can't see, you know, possible interceptions bobbled off the hand. You know, we give them a 3rd and 10 or something like that. Like, you've got to take the chances away from this team. You got to snuff out the fire early. Because if you do that, like you said, you put Jimmy Garoppolo in a position where he's got to throw the ball, and that's when things get bad for the 49ers.
Yep, and Garoppolo hasn't seen Douglas in a Packers uniform yet, but he's about to. About to get messy.
Real quick, though, I just thought about this since you brought up Rasul Douglas. Katie, I think, Sunderman on Twitter. She's big in Packers Twitter. I can't remember if I'm saying her last name right. Brought up a clip. I don't know where she got it from, but a clip from last year's game against the Panthers where Aaron Rodgers is celebrating a touchdown and they're doing the I love gold, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah, finally I saw this.
And who's walking in the background smiling? Rasul Douglas. And they even said it on the broadcast. And they're like, look at Rasul Douglas. He's looking over there and saying, like, what are these guys doing? What's going on over here? And now time, a flat circle, Rasul Douglas ends up as a Packer. He knows what it's all about now. I think, yeah, Rasul Douglas, absolute key. Like, because I think Stokes and Jair will find themselves in the defense. Now Rasul's kind of trying to find his way being a number three or a number two with, you know, Jair now instead of, you know,
which it's more so the safety position that makes me more nervous than the cornerbacks at this point. Long as Savage can play up to his potential, that's going to be huge because he's been kind of up and down the last few weeks. So it'd be really good to see him come in and have a solid game and, you know, turnovers that we've seen him drop, maybe get a couple of those.
Yeah. I'm going to go on the offense, and I think it's just utilize Devontae Adams and the short passing game as much as possible. This offense works so well when that works first. Like, having the run game and everything else, that is still important. Obviously, A.J. Dillon going to be crucial for every single playoff game you play this year. But for me, when I watch this offense, it works well when that short passing game is working, when you're getting 3 or 4 yards on those short passes like that, because those are really the quote unquote runs, you know, that's what establishes the inside running game for Dillon, the inside running game for Jones, even, you know, like that's what creates those holes in the middle there. And I feel like at times, even more so than them abandoning the run too early, they sort of abandon those short little easy passes that just get you 3 or 4 yards, 2 or 3 yards, you know, and just kind of get you into a rhythm. They get you positive yards, you know. And so I think for me, that's the big one, because I don't think that there's anyone on this defense that's going to be able to cover Devontae.
Absolutely. I don't think there's anybody in the league that can cover Devontae. Always use him to your advantage. And you make a really good point with the short play. I mean, we see a lot of, you know, going for the deep ball on first down, missing it, and then you run, and then all of a sudden it's like maybe third and six or something, and then you have to try and put together a play. And
Or it's like 2nd and 7, and they're throwing the ball, and it's like 15 yards down the field. I understand that if it works, that's a great play. And I understand that you can't be afraid of taking those plays,
but you're given 3 downs for a reason. You don't have to go for the first down every time. Maybe are we going to have Cobb back? I don't know, but you get a guy going across the middle, and it's like, there's so many options that, you know, you don't have to go deep to MBS every time. It's fun, but just get in that rhythm, especially because they can kind of be off to a slow start in these games. So I think that would be the best way for them to get the offense going right away, is to just get in that rhythm and throw the short passes, like throw one for 7 yards and then maybe run it, and then who knows? Like, just, yeah, I think that they, like, Aaron Rodgers, we know he can throw the ball, but you got to do what the defense has given you, and that hasn't necessarily worked every time. Either the connection is off or defense is just there, but yeah, I really like what you're saying with that, because I've noticed that too, and I think that's going to be huge for getting the ball rolling.
Yeah. Either way, we've got the coverage all week long here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Make sure you're following us at Pack-A-Day Podcast on Twitter. Like, subscribe, rate, review, share us with your friends. There's so many Packer fans, I feel like, that don't know that this podcast exists. And I hear stories all the time of people getting introduced to this podcast. It's like, guys, we've been around for 4 years now, almost. Yeah. If you've got Packer fans out there that don't know about this podcast, let them know, because this is one of the best places to get your daily information. It's the only place to get your daily information for Green Bay Packer football. You can follow Janelle and I on Twitter as well. I am on there at DK all the way. Janelle, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find most of my work on Twitter at BigMac_4. I do have a link tree in my bio. Obviously here every other Tuesday on Pack-A-Day with Dan, and usually Eli, who couldn't make it today. Every Wednesday on Game On Wisconsin, I do open book again with Eli and Zach. I also do the Packer preview for Packer Report, which very excited to do my first playoff preview with Ross. So yeah, a lot of good stuff, and I'm ready, man. I'm so ready for, I mean, it feels like it's been forever since we've watched a Packer game. So I'm excited, and this week is just going to be dedicated to getting in the zone for San Francisco.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, long, long couple of 4 days here coming up. Speaking of which, as well, like what Janelle said with her shows over in Game On, I'm on Game On Wisconsin as well. Every Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central with Lombardi's Bar with Jimmy Christensen and Todd Varney. So you check that out. And then doing some writing for Game On Wisconsin every Friday with The Leap over on the website as well. But until next time, next time we talk, Janelle, hopefully we're talking about a trip to the Super Bowl. It's been,
oh my gosh,
Janelle, it's been 3 years now. 3 years now. We go every other week, and we have had an episode the day, well, not this time, it's Saturday, thank God. We're not going to be the day after anymore, but we're still going to be doing an episode post, like, you know, the week after the NFC Championship game. Yep. Which could be involving the Green Bay Packers. I'm trying really hard not to jinx us on all of that, but I just can't believe that that's going to be, again, like, here we go again with us, you and I.
Yeah, I mean, we're too used to the depressing episodes. We need, like, we have put in our time. We deserve a happy
post-NFC
Championship
it.
Game show. Because, yeah, you're right. We always get stuck doing that one.
If anyone deserves the championship game, it's us more than anybody else.
Right, exactly. And I don't know how it always lines up this way, but like even adding week 18,
here we are. Still didn't throw off the algorithm. Yeah.
We've earned this right. So make it happen, Packers. We want to be able to talk positive after an NFC championship game. Make it their first, and then let us talk positively about it.
That's right. We will talk to you then. For Janelle, for Dan, myself, saying enjoy the rest of the playoff, guys, no matter how long it is. Enjoy the rest of this Packer football as long as we have it. And until next time, as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.